You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. This week, I got to sit down with my good friend, actually, Molly Jackson. Now, you may know her as an actress or as an activist, but she is one of the sweetest humans, and I am so honored that I get to call her my friend. I'm very grateful for her. We talk about literally everything. This episode is basically a sneak peek into what our friendship is like, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Molly, I am so excited you're on my podcast. This is so exciting because we've been talking about this for a minute.
We have.
For those who don't know, I want to give a little setup how we met because I think it's really funny and kind of unexpected that we became friends.
Absolutely. Well, we met in the middle of a pandemic too, which is always
on Instagram Live. So yes. It was during the election. Mm-hmm. We were both trying to get the word out, get the vote, get people to register.
Yes, rock the vote all the way.
Yeah. And so we did an Instagram Live. And I remember I was like, man, this girl, we did, how long? Like 30 minutes? It was like a 30-minute live.
Yeah, well, what was funny about it, too, is you were supposed to be interviewing me then. And then they flipped it last minute.
Yeah.
So I interviewed you during, I've never interviewed anyone before.
Yeah, it was so weird for me, too, because I was like, so do I just answer? You did a great job, by the way.
Whew, thank you.
But we just talked. I was like, why? Though it wasn't about like anything personal, it was to get the vote. I was like, we have a lot in common. Like, we just clicked, if you will.
Well, no, even like our pacing and our tones and like a kind of like sense of humor. It
worked.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And then so we followed each other on social media. And mm-hmm. then I went out to California, and I think it was February. And I did this big trip, first time flying by myself, stayed here for a month, supposed to be 5 days. And it was a big trip in where I just accomplished a lot. I got over a bunch of my anxiety. And I DM'd you. I was like, you know, let me reach out to her. And then we got coffee. And then we realized we were literally the same person.
Yes. No, we had, I mean, even like our dads share a name and yeah. our moms have the same like area of
a work. Profession. It was
and,
weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. No, I mean, we had very like similar life parallels with our anxiety and like our careers and like school and just kind of everything.
And then I just remember being like, man, this is a girl that I want to stay friends with. And I'm so glad that you're on the podcast because... now everyone gets to know more about you.
Aww.
Know the incredible Molly that you are.
Aww. Well, I mean, I've loved getting to know you. And then, I mean, we reconnected all. We got really close, I think, when I went to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, really close.
Saw each other a lot then. And now I'm officially out in California.
I know, you moved. Welcome. You're an official Cali girl.
I think I've always been one at heart. I think you've always been a New York girl.
Yes, and someday I'll make that move.
We're just gonna switch places. You're gonna end up in New York. I just know it.
Hopefully, I'm hoping next summer. We'll see. We'll see. But I want to be here for the first year you're here because
then you
have to experience all the California stuff.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We'll go to the beach. We'll do all the fun stuff. We've talked a lot about your career and stuff, just as in itself. But I'm so curious.
For sure.
Do you remember when you first started acting?
I do. Yeah. I was 4 years old and my parents were looking for like summer camps for me. And the only one I showed any interest in was a theater camp. And they called and they were like, no, you have to be five. Like the kid has to be five. So the difference of 4 to 5.
Big difference, apparently.
Huge, dramatic. So I waited like an entire year. I guess according to my parents, I didn't bring it up once. And then like on my 5th birthday, I was like, okay, so I can go to the acting camp now. And they were like, wow, like she still remembers that. So they signed me up. And quite like significantly, the very first day, I just jumped out of the car and I walked inside. And up until that point, I had debilitating separation anxiety from my mom. So for the fact
just
that
like
for
me.
Something, it was the very first time I'd ever walked away from my mom, ever. And from that moment, my parents were like, okay, she has to do this for the rest of her life. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So after that first camp, the first play was we did Snow White and the Seven Little Piggies. So I was like a little pig. I was the littlest pig of them all. And I had like pink paint on my nose and it was so much fun. And then I literally just went from summer camp to summer camp to summer camp. Like I did not stop doing plays at this theater for 2.5 years.
Did you do anything during the school year? Or was it just like school?
Yes, I did stuff during the school year. They had like little like weekend programs or little like weekend, I don't know, like just training and stuff like that. And then over winter break, we had like our winter play. And then the spring, there was like a medley. And I was definitely the youngest one there, the smallest one there. I was itty bitty as a kid. But I mean, just the moment I've just like felt the presence of this little theater. It's called Kids & Co. in El Paso, Texas. Shout out to them. They're wonderful. Yeah, I just felt like home and I felt safe and I felt like I could be myself. And my anxiety literally was left at the door every time.
Man, that's crazy. Especially like I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When I do these conversations, it's one of the times where like anxiety isn't there. If you're an anxious person, you know, if you find something you love that doesn't make you anxious, that is so huge.
No, you know that then you have to be doing that thing. It feels stupid to walk away from it.
Because it's so rare.
Yeah, well, I mean, during that exact same period that I was at this children's theater, I would go to school on, you know, off days and I would cry and cry the entire school day until my mom picked me up. So I knew it was specifically that
Molly,
activity.
That was literally me. Why do we have so much in common? We've had these.
No, and the teachers would always reassure my mom, like, oh, she'll stop crying in like 10 minutes. By the time she picked me up, I was still sobbing.
Yeah, that was me. I used to have my mom. So I used to have really bad separation anxiety from my mom, too.
Yes, another parallel.
Another parallel. And I used to like make her walk up the stairs with me into the classroom. Like I couldn't walk up the stairs with everybody by myself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My mom had to park in the parking lot instead of just like the little like loop-de-doop like drop off. She had to like park, walk me in. It's just crazy. I look back and it feels like a different person, but I'm proud of her.
Yeah.
And then I was about 7.5 when a manager came to the theater and was like, oh, like me and one other kid, like I'm going to bring them out to LA and let's see how this goes. So I kind of did like a boot camp there and I like met an agent and I got some headshots and I was 7 just having the time of my life.
From Texas.
Yeah, and I think exactly El Paso, Texas, like right in the little tip there, big military town, because my family's also a military family. So we were out there in Los Angeles. My parents were pretty worried about how that transition would be from my little theater to set. They thought maybe it was just the theater that like didn't cause me anxiety. And then being on set, same thing happened. I just didn't. I mean, I had to legally then have my mom on set with me, you know, child laws. But I don't think I checked in with her like once throughout the day. I would just have the time. It was my favorite. It's still my favorite place in the world is being on set or acting in any capacity.
something people don't realize is that like being on set, it's not as glamorous as people. It's just a lot of hurry up and wait.
It is. And for some reason, like, I still love that. Like, I get time to read and, like, I love talking to people and, like, just learning people's stories. Like, I can always be instead of, I mean, I feel like a lot of actors, like, eat their lunch and, like, their trailers and stuff like that. And I don't know I don't know when I've ever done that. I think I can remember one time when I was kind of sick on set and they, like, needed to keep me isolated. But, like, I'm always, like, with everybody else eating. Like, I just, it's every moment of it. It's not glamorous, but I love it. Every yeah. moment. It's just, there's so much to learn and so much like stimulation. So.
I know. So when I was working with Radio Disney, mm-hmm. RIP Radio Disney, I did a bunch of like backstage with these Disney shows.
Yeah.
And I really experienced for the first time like what set life was. And yeah. it was nothing than I expected. Like what people don't mm-hmm. realize, doing one scene can take hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Hours. What was the longest it took you to finish one scene?
Funny enough, this is like kind of one of my favorite stories, but funny enough, the longest scene I ever had to shoot was like a kiss scene.
Show is this?
This is Andy Mack with Josh Rush.
Right.
So this was we had to kiss twice in the show, which is kind of unusual for Disney. But so this was the second time we were kissing in the show, and we did probably, I think like we had both like been keeping count. I think we ended up doing like 34 takes of it. There was no reason we needed 34 takes of a kiss scene. And we were both like 15 and we were antsy and we were starting to get like, oh gosh, this is just getting worse and worse and worse. It's something that we can like, we always bring it up when we're together, which is like, it's a great memory to laugh about. But yeah, I mean, I think we probably shot that scene for like 6 hours. Like we took lunch and went back to it. It was the longest scene of my life. And my parents weren't on set with me. My Nana took me. So my Nana's there, like, with her book, like, just watching me, like, kiss this boy over and over and over and over again.
And was this, like, your first kiss?
So the first time we kissed on the show, yes, it was my first kiss. So I had my first kiss on Disney Channel when I was 15, which is iconic, but also when
you
I was 15.
You have it to look back on forever now.
Yes. Now I think it's amazing and I'm glad that happened because like what a story. But at the time when I was 15, oh, I was so upset. I was like, I wanted my first kiss at like a school dance, like da-da-da. Yeah. But no, Josh and I mean, we were really close and we were good friends before we did it on
yeah.
set.
And yeah. it's also it's like a Disney kiss. It's like a peck.
It's just a peck and it was really fun. But the first time that we kissed in an episode, both his dad and my mom were like there with their iPhones, like recording it in our faces. So we had like the camera and it was like 50 adults, just us two kids.
Hormonal 15-year-old and your parents are filming
it. Yes. So my parents like have it on video because they're like, the first one's not going to make the cut of the episode. So like, we'll have it.
That is okay.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things people don't realize.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, I think I get a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of friends outside of the industry, too. I think, like, you know, just my military friends and stuff yeah. like that. And it's always, like, a lot of concern that I missed out on things. And I'm like, but I don't ever feel that way because I got so many other weird experiences like that are cool and, like, unique. And
also you love what you do.
Yes, I absolutely love it.
I will say, you are one of the few people where you love every process of it. When I'm texting, you're like, I'm doing a self-tape. I'm so excited. I'm like, yes, girl. Like, what people don't realize, when you're an actor, your main job is auditioning. That is a full-time job in itself. And I want to talk about that for a second because yes. that isn't talked about enough.
I think you've heard me like rant about this yes. to you, like in our friendship. But so I'm glad you brought this up. No, auditioning is your main job. That is the job. When I get a self-tape, I'm like, okay, this is my job. Like booking, it's just the extra perk. And that means you get to continue with the character. You know, everyone has their own process. It baffles me when other actors like complain about self-tapes. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how are you not loving this? Like, this is a new character and you get to work on it and like put it on camera. And like people are going to watch and laugh or cry. Yeah. Like every audition is a performance in itself. And that's why I love class. I love auditions. Like I was texting you last night. I was in a 6-hour acting class.
Yeah. I was like, how long is this class going for?
It's my Thursday night class. And it's just a group of actors who just absolutely love every step of the process as well. I'm the youngest one in the class. And it's only supposed to be 4 hours, but we usually go till midnight.
Man.
It's like, I always call it like my second therapy every week. Cause oh, like I have therapy that. And then this is my other therapy.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Would you say being an actor, cause you're going into different mindsets and different perspectives, help you with just putting like your anxiety into perspective sometimes? Or do you keep those separate?
I do tend to keep those separate and I hope someday I don't have to, but yeah. I think that like right now I'm still working through my anxiety at like a high enough level that I'm not quite ready to like merge the two. So I yeah. do have to keep those pretty separate, which I'm excited for the day I don't have to, because then I can like kind of merge that disconnect, like get rid of the disconnect there. But what does help me with characters is I'm also like a psych major in school. So I think like kind of all three, though, like my anxiety, psych major, and then acting, they all come together.
They really,
nicely,
do.
Though. Yeah, they help with like my empathy and just like my interactions with other people. And
yeah. How do you balance school and your career? Because I know something that I've struggled with, and it's a challenge. It really is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that for the last couple of years of school, I was nearly as busy as you were with school. Like, I don't know how you do it. Like, I talked to you about it and I'm like, wait, something's not making sense though. Like, when did you sleep?
No, I don't know how I did it either. That's a question that I need to ask myself too. That was just subconsciously I went through
it. And now you're going to be a full-time college student doing it as well.
Yeah. A new challenge.
Wow. You baffle us all.
But I'm not on set for hours and hours and hours. Like, acting is a full, like, time.
Yeah. It's definitely, the only thing with acting though too is like you definitely have like your breaks though. So I think that like the main thing is finding a school that will work with you on that. So that like maybe if you're working for a month straight and you're working 12-hour days every day for a month, you're not going to have any time for school then if you still want to sleep and have like somewhat of a social life, which that unfortunately is probably the thing that takes the biggest back burner for me is like my social life when I'm working.
Yeah.
But I've had schools that will be like, okay, like this month you won't do any school, but next month you got to like double up. So it's like kind of, I've been very lucky with my teachers and like my principals and stuff who have worked with me on more making it like a year round school.
I think that's one of the things, like being a child actor, especially, people don't realize you do school on set too.
It's,
you do school with the people you're working with.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the interesting thing about set school, though, is for me personally, when I was doing set on school, which is technically you need 3 hours a day and you need like a certain number of breaks. But the only issue is that like they would be like, okay, we have 10 minutes, like go do some school. And they'd clock it like that. It takes me 5 minutes to log into my online school program. So unfortunately, I never got to the place where I could figure out how to really get that much school done. So for me, more so it was being on set, maybe doing a little bit here and there, and then coming home and just doing school for 5 hours straight and then going to bed. So that was like very, I think from like 13 to 15, that was like, I was busiest with work then. And that was probably like the most hectic time.
Was that when you were on Andy and Mac?
Yeah, that's when I was on Andy Mac and Game Shakers and Nikki, Ricky, Dickie and Dawn. So I was kind of like rotating guest stars on all those shows. So yeah, so it was pretty, and then with auditions and stuff like that as well. So that was a very like stressful time where I really don't remember having too many friendships. Like I said, like unfortunately, between school and work, and then you do want to have somewhat of a social life, but then you also have responsibilities like interviews and press and events and stuff like that. So it was definitely kind of, it was overwhelming. And now I'm figuring out what I want to do with college, and I just don't want to go back to that place because that was a very stressful place.
One of the good things, though, from being on Disney is that you're with people your own age. It's not like you were just with much younger people all the time or much older. At least you were able to socialize with people your age.
Absolutely. No, I got to socialize with, because that's kind of where you did get like your friend time on set in those shows. It was so like compounded, though. I think it was really fun because Andy Mac shot in Utah. So I would like be in LA and then I'd fly out to shoot an episode or two in Utah and then come back and, you know, back and forth, where like the series regulars on that show were there in Utah for the entire year. It was fun. It was like sweet how like they got so excited when like the guest stars would come out or whatever. Cause I mean, I thought of them in their situation. There's just four of them together nonstop for a year. So like it was kind of fun coming. Cause then you kind of felt like the superstar on set. Cause everyone was so excited to have new blood to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. Just so I can get a better sense. Let's use Andy Mack as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take to film an episode? What were your hours like?
Well, I mean, Andy Mac's a really unique example of a Disney show. Granted, like more Disney Plus shows now are doing what Andy Mac did. Mm-hmm. But Andy Mac was like a single cam. So it wasn't multicam like the other shows on Disney and Nick. Yeah. So a single cam. So it took a little bit longer, a lot more like discipline. Like that's why it was a more grounded performance because single cam doesn't want big animated performance like a multicam does. But no, I mean, pretty much like call time was usually around like 6 a.m. every day. So like getting up, you'd take like the bus would pick you up to set, like you'd get in the van, you'd go to set. You were there like going to set, doing school, kind of back and forth. And then lunch was about an hour. They had great food on the set of Andy Mac too. That was like amazing craft services. I'll always remember. Then we'd have lunch and then we'd go back to set and then kind of depending on like when you got called and stuff, you'd wrap and people were also coming and going because some people just had like a scene for 2 hours of the day and then they'd leave. And then afterwards, I mean, we usually like went out and did something too after set, which was super fun because that was like our social life. So we'd go to get dinner, go bowling or go roller skating. And yeah, so it was really fun.
I want to go roller skating. That sounds so much fun.
There's a really good rink in Glendale here.
Can we go?
Yes, absolutely. Super fun. Very affordable too.
I used to love, what was it? Rollerblading.
Oh my gosh.
I was obsessed with rollerblading.
Yes, my sister and I were obsessed from I was...
What color were your rollerblades?
My rollerblades were gray and purple.
Mine were purple.
Another parallel. Look at that.
It's so odd how much we have in common. I know we've talked about this, but it's really weird when you like think about it.
It is. No, it is weird. It's like, and also like living on kind of two different coasts and
but wanting to live where each other are.
Yes. Kind of like we should have done like a parent trap or something like that.
I think that could have worked.
I think it could have. Just I would have dyed my hair more. Well, you were brunette. So.
I was brunette.
Yeah.
Or you go blonde. You could pull up blonde.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I get a little too like dark in the summer where maybe blonde wouldn't have worked.
You could. What are you talking about?
I've never, ever varied from my hair color.
Would you ever?
For work, yes. I don't think not for work.
So if like a job is like shave your head.
Absolutely.
I want to shave my head at one point in my life. Joey King said, I think every woman should shave their head at least once in their life.
She has shaved her head like, what, 3 times for work.
She pulls it off like nobody's business.
She is my favorite. She is my my favorite career example. Like, I think she's such like a well-rounded person. Like, I love her social media. Like, everything she does, she just does it right. And I want to live exactly like she does. She's just wonderful.
I used to be obsessed with Ramona and Beezus. If anyone remembers that movie.
Yes, that was one of my favorite movies.
I couldn't watch the scene though when she ran away. That just made me too sad.
Oh, yeah, that was really sad. Well, funny enough, so with such separation anxiety, you think I wouldn't, but that scene, like, inspired me to, like, be dramatic and run away when I was 10.
You ran away?
But I ran away to my garage. We had a detached garage. Okay. And I packed up my stuff and dramatically, like, stormed the backyard. And I was like, I'm going to sleep in the garage.
I did that once. I was like, I'm leaving. And I just packed my bag, and I went down the hallway, and then I went back into my apartment because I missed my mom.
Yeah, well, because I was...
It's so sad. I wish I was rebellious sometimes.
No, I know. Same here. And even in the garage, I was just sobbing because of how much I missed my mom. And, like, she came and got me. And she's like, I know you're crying about me. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, I want to come back in.
Sometimes I just wish I could just, like, not care. And I could just, like...
Wouldn't that just be freeing? Just, like, not... Because it's not just, like...
Just not worry.
I know, like,
for
the level that, like, we care. It's not just, like, caring what people think about us. It's caring about what's going to... Like, it's irrational fears. Like, what's going to happen to the people around us? What's going to happen to us? Like...
Yeah.
Like, did I mess with the fabric of the universe and something bad is going to happen? It's just, like, all these very... We can, like, rationally know they're irrational, but at the same time, they just keep us from doing things.
Exactly. Okay, Molly, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about acting, specifically the audition process, your activism, and so much more. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Some of the things that I've been trying to not let stop me, but something that's been like really hard that I've noticed is just like rejection. And your job is, a big part of it is rejection. What's your general ratio of like how many self-tapes per job do you get?
Oof. That's so funny too that now it's like called self-tapes per job because it used to just be like in-person auditions.
Yeah,
that's just like self-tapes. I had a moment of realizing. I was like, oh my God, it's not in person anymore. That's so sad.
Do you miss in person?
Yeah, big time.
Wouldn't that be more big intimidating time. Though?
Yeah, but it's those nerves that I think like make it good though. Oh, you know, because you can turn that like nervousness into the excitement and like the hyper-focus of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I miss in person because I like interacting with people too, versus just like being pent up in my shooting
room. In your room.
Yeah, in my garage with my mom, and I'm like, this is.
So, how many auditions would you say you do per year?
Yeah,
because there are some weeks that you're like per day, you're just knocking them out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fluctuating like balance kind of throughout my life. It's kind of hard for me to ballpark it because I've been doing it now for, like professionally 12 years, 12 or 13 years.
What about just pandemic? Let's just go pandemic. Because it's been harder to book.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so like beginning of the pandemic, nothing because everything shut down. Yeah. And then I'd say since like October when things were starting to open up, I've maybe had like 30 to 40, which is pretty low compared to my peers, I think, because I had been between like representation as well. So I'm trying to like find my happy balance with that. Yeah, I'd say about 30. And from those, I've booked 3. So that's a really good ratio. And I'm super duper grateful for that. I mean, I kind of went through the balance of when I was really young, I would book maybe like 1 out of 20, which was pretty like unheard of. And I think it was only because I could play so young. I was like 7, but I was playing 4 years old. So like
what
actual 4-year-old can read? So that was like, that's how little I was. As I got older, it like went less and less, which also like took a huge hit on like, and that's also when I was going through puberty and stuff. So, you know, that takes another hit on the ego and like self-confidence is having it lessen. But that's natural. Like more people enter the industry every year. So you have more competition as you go along. Yeah.
And I know a lot of your peers also you compete with to audition. So how do you like find a balance where you don't think of them as your competition, you're friends with them, but also know it is a competition at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, I had a really like weird realization, I think, right before the pandemic of just kind of putting it into perspective, because I think that I did get caught up in the competition of it, because of course there are
some people
who egg on the competition of it as well, which is unfortunate. One thing you have to like kind of settle with is if the job's meant for you, it's meant for you. And at the end of the day too, it's the writer's baby and it's the writer's project. And also you want them to have the best person. So one thing that I started to do, which is unusual, and people have told me that's unusual, I do this and my team won't like hearing this, but when I get an audition, if I send it out to all my friends who I think are right for it. So I will like share it with them, because I just, for me, for some reason, that helped me big time feel like it completely axed out any competition, because I'm like, okay, well, like, I'm sharing the information. And then that way it's completely, like, everyone has a chance at it. Yeah. And so then if I get it, then I know I was the best for it. I won't lie, like, I was super competitive about it before. Like, it was almost, when I was younger, like, I almost had a hard time being friends with girls who were my direct competition, because it felt toxic and there was so much jealousy involved. And of course, there's still jealousy involved. Like, of course, there's things where I'm like, oh, I really wanted that. And like, now my friend's getting to shoot in New York for a month with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, if you stick with it, it'll come around for you eventually.
Yeah, I saw this masterclass with Bryan Cranston, and he was like, every time I go into audition to make sure I don't get jealous or compare myself, I just go, this audition, it's not mine. Like, it's not my role. I'm just got to do the best performance I can do, and whatever happens, happens. It's just not mine to be upset about.
I love that, because it isn't yours. It's the writers and the directors and the team behind it. Like, all you're doing is portraying it. And I think that, as soon as I had that realization that it didn't belong to me, it never belongs to you. I think even after you book it, it doesn't belong to you, because then it belongs to the audience who's getting to enjoy it. So I think as soon as you kind of let go of the ownership and the possessiveness, there's really no reason to feel like you're in competition with anybody.
And I know it's hard, because unfortunately we are living in a place where everything is so dictated by how many followers you have.
Yes.
Which can be really frustrating, especially when it's not necessarily always about the art and the craft or how many years you're putting the work in to do it. So how do you deal with that? Just like maintaining your sanity and mental health, because again, you're 19 like me, social media can be pretty shitty being our age, comparing
absolutely
yourself.
Yeah.
But also thinking of it as a business, like how do you compartmentalize it too? Because
I go back and forth on my opinions on it every day. Like, you can ask my mom. I think one day I'm like, oh, I really like social media. Like, I need to embrace it. Like, I need to, like, work it better. And then the very next day I'm like, I hate it. I want them all gone. Like, it can go crumble. Like, I'm just, it's so night or day for me when it comes to social media. Yeah.
I've done that so many times.
So I go back and forth with that. I mean, I'll always remember my very first role that I didn't get based on followers. I was 12 years old, and that was the first time I was realizing that like the industry was changing in that direction. And like, I'll always remember
that
vividly.
Young.
Yeah, it was a crazy realization where I was like, I felt, I did a good audition and that didn't matter.
So that's such a helpless feeling.
Yeah, it felt hopeless. That was really like hard to come to terms with. And then I think to compensate for that, I went like crazy for a while wanting to be like, okay, well, I'm going to build my following and like, I'm going to do influencer-y things. And like, I started like a YouTube channel and I was like hanging out with like the influencer crowd. And I think that that was something that I was like, okay, well, this is going to fix it. And then I realized, oh, well, like I'm living everything just to share it on social media. And like, then that's not fulfilling life-wise. I might think that's going to help my career, but that's not fulfilling life-wise at all. So I definitely like pulled back from all of that. And I mean, now it's more just that day-to-day thing. Like right now I'm posting on my social media more than I have in like the past year, because I think I like was like, okay, like I'm gonna try again, like I'm gonna put in the effort, but then I have those day-to-day breakdowns. Yeah. So who knows?
I mean, you're also posting a lot of informative stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I try to.
Yeah, and it's really important. And something that I just respect about you so much is that with your platform, you are using it to educate people and to get people involved in activism, which is so important. What made you get into activism in the first place? Was there a certain issue, or was it just something that kind of came up naturally?
My mom has always been like super duper active and just socially aware, and like she let us watch the news from a young age. And so I'd always like had that encouragement from my parents. And then funny enough, I was actually listening to an interview or a speech by Miley Cyrus, and she had like this one quote that stood out to me that was like, having a platform and not using it is the biggest crime that like we could commit in the modern day. And I just like that, I sat with that and I was like, wow, like I have a platform, like I have a couple hundred thousand followers. Like it might not be as much as the people I know with millions, but I can still do something.
Yeah.
And I have this and people will listen to me, like they're buying the clothes I'm wearing and stuff. So why can't they, make the calls to the governors that like could be more impactful? And I think I just kind of put two and two together. So I started kind of posting when I was like volunteering at dog shelters, or if I was doing like a beach cleanup, and I just started posting like when I was being active, and like then I was attaching links to like how other people could get involved. And then eventually, I mean, I just like organizations started reaching out to collaborate or to work together. And then I got really invested when I flew up to Sacramento, the California state capital, for the first time. And I lobbied with like our assembly members. And then I spoke at an assembly hearing for women's rights to abortion access.
And so, how old were you?
15. Yeah, I was 15. It was...
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done it in a while because of the pandemic, so yeah. I was doing it yearly. And I think that moment, it was probably the most emotional 24 hours of my life because you had to hear the opposing side and their argument to it. And I just felt like it was, I think women's rights were the first thing that I was super passionate about because I, in that moment, I was like, wow, like people just really don't care what happens to me. They care about this idea of like cells growing inside of my body right now more than anything else. And that just kind of, I don't know, that struck me, that made me very sad. And I was like, I want to advocate for this. And then that kind of fed into a lot of different paths. I mean, environmentalism, like, and my whole family's vegan. So we're focused on that. And then back in 2019, right before the pandemic, my sister's school had a school shooting. And then we became very focused on gun control in our family. And then
and you have a military family too.
Yes, we have a military family, which was a huge contrast. And when I was younger too, like we always had guns in the house. Like that was very normal. There was nothing unusual about that.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of came to the realization like, wow, like that's not necessary. And like, look at the pain it's causing the people in our community and my sister. That's been an interesting contrast too, is we have so many military friends and our closest family friends and family are military personnel. And so we have great respect for them. And I idolize my dad. My dad was in the Army for 27 years.
Yeah.
So that is a contrast, which is interesting. And I think seeing him balance that has been helpful. So like he's like very liberal and active as well, but he's military. And I think how he balances that is very graceful. And I look up to that.
We're in a place where everything is so divided. Mm-hmm. Our country is divided on everything. And I think if we can all just hear each other out, I think if you hear both perspectives and actually listen, it's not about talking, it's about listening. That's how we make the biggest change. All right, Molly, we have to take one more quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk more about your activism and dive into that. I also want to talk about dating and cancel culture. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I remember when you were in New York, it was, I think it was Memorial Day? No.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Memorial Day. And you went an hour outside the city, taught yourself transportation to go to a cemetery to pay your respects for those who gave their lives. Yeah. And I remember I commented, I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is so important that you're just acknowledging it. I remember you telling me that you lost like 1,000 followers for that.
Yeah, no, I did. And I had...
Not everything has to be political. And I feel like that's where to state everything
is. No, and they... That was my thing because I'm a military kid. I have great respect for the military and my dad. And so many people died for us and are, I mean, everything we do, just the way we protest would not be safe in another country even, which is crazy. And I don't think we realize that enough, like the positives of what the military has done. So I wanted to go pay my respects and I thought that that was important. And I had some friends even texting me who I've worked with on like other campaigns. And they're like, that was like really disappointing, like seeing you supporting the military. And I'm like, that didn't have to be a political thing though at all. Yeah. That's just paying respects for like our fallen. Like I remember I think a couple 4th of July's ago, I had seen some people online like burning the flag for 4th of July, which really made me really upset and worked up about it. And I talked to my dad about it and he was like not upset at all about it, which surprised me. I thought he would be, like, he's Mr. Military. And he brought up a really good point. He's like, well, he's like, you know, most of the country is still like, you could face years in prison for that and the death penalty. He's like, but that's part of what we fight for. He's like, we lay down our lives even for the right to burn the flag. He's like, and that's sad. He's like, but that's part of it. He's like, so when I see people burning the flag, I'm like, oh, well, they're exercising their right.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so like a casual, like that was so... He's so not attached that he looks at that as some freedom, which...
Exactly,
yeah.
Which if you think about it, it's contradictory.
It is.
But at the same time, everything has become so political.
Everything.
Environment. Yeah. The environment is now political.
No, even the way we shop, like everything.
I think with cancel culture, it really magnifies that. And I hope that everybody can just take away from this conversation, if anything, like use your voice and actually have conversations with people and do research for yourself and don't just listen.
Don't just listen. And I think that that was the thing, too, when people saw me posting something out of respect for the military, because most of the time I'm very liberal on my social media. And I guess maybe that was a little less liberal, like that doesn't align with what you think a liberal is, like because supporting the military, just because of the media and what they've built it out to be. Like the military seems like a very like far right ideal.
Yeah.
Which isn't how it is. But that's the thing too. That's exactly like if you listen and you can also have opinions from varying places as well.
Yeah.
Your opinions don't need to align on one side. That's not democratic either. You know,
exactly.
Like, yeah,
exactly. It's about forming your own opinions and what you believe and not listening to just because someone tells you to.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the fact that also we're able to do that and have our own opinions is so
that's special.
That's
so cool. So let's
it's
use
so
it.
Cool.
Yes.
Like, think of how many countries aren't able to do that.
No, I know.
It's so easy to feel helpless in this world, especially right now. But we have the power to take control back in ways.
We do. We do. Absolutely. Like you were saying, like we can take action into our own hands. And I'm just going to use like veganism as an example, or kind of like the environment as an example. So we have all these great protests all over the world of young kids protesting for the environment and getting policy change. And that's amazing. And like policy change is going to change it. But also we all know how slow government moves and how slow things move through government when we can take so much of the power in our own hands. Like I've been to multiple climate marches, like especially two summers ago, I was at like the one every single Friday. And then I'd see people walking around with like McDonald's burgers. And I'm like, well, do you know how much like animal agriculture is contributing to carbon dioxide emissions? Like it was very contradictory. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're so focused on like our policymakers as like making the change when
we have the power.
We have the power by doing that, by thrifting. Like we were just talking about that, how awesome thrifting is. And by, you know, encouraging like to save up for like maybe a little bit more for a hybrid car instead of a gas guzzler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we have more of the power with so many different things versus having to wait around for change to happen.
How do you use that your knowledge that you have on a bunch of issues that you keep learning about in your work? Do you take some of the knowledge that you learn into your character, if that makes any sense?
I mean, I think definitely. I wouldn't necessarily say always about political activism stuff, but I think that I'm like a psych major, and I think studying the human psyches and how different people interact and how societies interact, I think that definitely comes into play when I'm like building up a character and breaking them down and figuring out like what makes them tick and who they are and what they've been through. And that really helps bringing that into it.
And I think also like you've done so many different roles in so mm-hmm. many different mediums. You've done voiceovers, you've done acting, which are very different.
Yes, itself. Very different.
When you're doing a voiceover, do you speak differently? Do you exaggerate more versus when you're on camera?
With voiceovers, I think the biggest thing is like enunciation, which is funny because I'm not a very enunciated person, like in just how I speak casually. But in voiceovers, it's like a lot about enunciation and more energy too. But it also depends on the voiceover you're doing. If you're doing like a blind light video game, you're going to be like more mellow and like you're at the battlefield and you're talking like this. And then if you're doing a Nickelodeon animated cartoon, you're going to raise your energy like this and talk a lot faster and add like quirky voices. So
oh God, I love that I just witnessed that.
So it's going to like change dramatically too on like what you're doing. But I mean, voiceovers are fun too because it's just you and you're in a booth and like people can't really see you and you can make weird faces and do weird things just to like get into your body. So I mean, I love voiceovers as well.
Is there one you prefer?
Like over live action and voiceover?
Yeah.
Live action. I mean, I think that as like, yeah, I mean, I think like acting and the physicality of it though too and putting all of it together. And also with live action, you work a little bit more with the team. Like with voiceover, you're recording by yourself most of the time. I mean, I love getting to work as part of a team and feed off of other people's energy. So I do prefer that. But I think voiceover, especially during the pandemic, was like the perfect thing.
Yeah. And you're a very bubbly person. What's your dream role? Is it someone that's similar to you or is it someone that's completely opposite?
Oh, so my dream role for a long time would not be like roles about like, you know, just people playing people on the spectrum or like playing autistic individuals. And for a long time, I was like, okay, like that's my dream role. But like now I've like, you know, done some self-reflection and I'm like, okay, well, that's like not appropriate. Like that's not my role to play. Like,
yeah.
So that's changed. I mean, that's another example of how we change and critically think and like evolve as humans. So I think my dream role has changed now too. Like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Basketball Diaries. That is my dream role. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a very, very dramatic. He's super drug addicted and like going through rehab throughout the entire movie and keeps slipping up. And it's a very like character-y grunge role. And I think that would be ideal because you do not see, one, you don't see many women in roles like that. You see a lot of men going through roles like that. You don't see many women portrayed. And then another type of dream role would be like a very character-y role, like something Tim Burton-wise. And once again, there's not too many women playing very character-y types. So I think that one of those two would be like dream roles for me. Something just very extreme.
Let's manifest, girl. Let's put it out in the universe. Do you believe in manifestation?
I go back and forth. I mean, you know, Cricket, she always like teases me about this. Like I don't manifest intentionally, but I'm a big daydreamer. So I'll just like daydream about things again and again and again. And then it happens. And she's like, everything you want, like happens, like
so
in regards to, I'm accidentally like manifesting.
You're unintentionally manifesting.
Yeah. Just by thinking of, I'm an overthinker too. So I'll overthink about things like again and again and again and again. And then it kind of happens to be a manifestation, I guess. Oh, so I don't believe in it intentionally.
Something that I've also been like struggling with is finding a balance between work, school, and social life. And dating in this day and age is so hard, let alone a pandemic. Let's forget about the pandemic for a second. I can only speak to my experiences. It is hard to date, especially in this industry. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, I mean, I...
How do you have a mental sanity, like just dealing with it and letting like what comes?
I mean, I'll say like I was pretty late to wanting to date. I was pretty late to wanting to have like a boyfriend or a relationship until I was about like almost 18. And then I was like very like obsessed on the idea of like, I need a relationship. Like all my friends were in one. I needed one. So I got in a relationship and we dated over the pandemic, which like made it, which made the pandemic like easier, feeling like that, like,
gap. You have somebody.
Like, yeah, exactly. But now that we've been broken up for about a year now. Wow. Time like really flies. I feel like I was just like telling you like, oh yeah, I just got out of a relationship. Yeah. Like that feels like that was just yesterday. But yeah, now that I've had like a year of kind of figuring, this is like the first year I've been figuring out like how to date in this industry, which is, it's tough. It's sticky too. And then I get a little hesitant to date outside of the industry. Cause I mean, we've talked about it plenty, like people kind of wanting you for
the
ulterior
wrong
motives. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think I've found like, to be honest, the best luck still dating outside of the industry, but just like filtering people out properly, I guess. Or like really like trusting when my parents are like, I don't get the right, like they are into you for the right reasons. Yeah.
How do you find the balance between filtering out the fake people? There's quite a few, not to characterize, but from my time in California, New York, I've noticed more fake people in California.
Yes.
Basically LA.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you filter that out?
I mean, I think the biggest thing too is not letting it affect you too much. I think I used to be like very like offended if I was like, oh my God, they were fake and they wanted, like I would like very, I would take it very personally. And I've gotten a lot better at not taking things as personally. But I think that once you're out here long enough, you just kind of see it from a mile away. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
You just get in the hang of it. And then it's just kind of like, you just don't pursue anything closer with those people. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be at the parties. Like you'll always interact with them, but you don't need to make anything deeper with them.
I mean, it's a process.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think like my bigger thing is like, I have a hard time with like mean or entitled people out here. Like that's frustrating. And like you literally were with me as I was going through my first ever mean girl experience.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sammy. That's like kind of how we really bonded.
That's when we really
bonded. She was the most real and there for me. So yeah, I mean, I think like it's more that kind of will bug me as the people who aren't fake, but are like intentional in how they're manipulative and stuff like that.
And call it out. And they just like are okay with them being that way. It's not even like them being like subtle about it.
No, like, they're quite bold about it. The people who do that. Yeah.
I still can't process that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that like you've met so many people out here already, like as you're living out here too. It just becomes easier and easier not to get caught up with those people. I think the biggest thing is, not taking it personally. Like they're going through their thing.
Yeah.
And just kind of let them be on their own. I mean, I love my alone time too. So that's how I reset after interacting with people who maybe don't align with my morals. Is I love alone time. I love just going to the beach all day by myself and reading a book and meditating.
Lovely.
And like, yeah, I definitely prioritize alone time kind of above when I have free time. I mean, I definitely make sure I get my alone time done first.
Well, that's how you recharge.
Yeah, that is how I recharge. So I'm definitely an introvert. And that's how I recharge. But I think also that's important too. If you deal with fake people and you're getting worn down by them, it's just kind of to touch in with like who you are and realize like, oh, I'm not fake at all. Like I'm a real one.
Yeah. You're a real one. And that's important. And I just want to say, I'm so glad that we've met and become friends.
Same
because
here.
It's so rare to find genuine people, but people that you're so similar to.
Yeah, I know people that it's like they're genuine, but also you have stuff in common with and you can have deep conversations with and that. Yeah. No, I mean, we've had some we have been kind of a long distance friendship. And fortunately, we're still living on two different sides of Los Angeles, which sucks. But I feel like when we do see each other, like it's very quality and I leave feeling very content.
I know. And I feel like I'm excited to continue and I am so honored that you came on. Everyone go follow Molly Jackson on Instagram. Go check out her stuff. She is just the most incredible, genuine person. Molly, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an amazing time. I had so much fun. I could talk to you for hours more. So
we will.
We will. Exactly. We'll talk.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. Molly, thank you so much for coming on. I love her so much. If you want to follow her on Instagram, you absolutely should. Her Instagram is Molly Jackson, and also follow her film account. She takes awesome pics on film, and you should just follow her account. Also, subscribe to the Let's Be Real podcast if you haven't already. And follow me on Instagram if you want. My Instagram is @SammyJ. That's @ITSSAMMYJAYE. I hope you guys like this week's episode, and I will see you next week. Bye.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.